Good evening. As usual, I have good news for you.
Yeah.
And all that God is and might is, that this thing that we call God does not show favorites. Last week I told you about being asked to leave the Baptist Church. And I'll go into that a little further tonight. Years ago, when I was searching out and thinking that somebody had an answer that I didn't have, and I thought perhaps it would come through a brand name religion, I started to investigate different churches. And the reason why I picked the Baptist Church is because my friend Doug the Baptist. And Doug the Baptist at that time was teaching a singles class at the Baptist Church. So I thought, well, okay, I'll attend. So I went for a few weeks and listened to how bad and evil I was and how absolutely sinful I was. So finally, one time, it was on how sinful human beings are. So I finally said, you know, I don't believe that. Well, with that, the wrath of those people came down upon me. And they immediately said to me, who do you think you are? Jesus Christ? He's the only one that has no sin. Well, first of all, you must realize that the Baptist Church and these particular people in this church thought that it was Jesus Christ, that Jesus was his first name and Christ was his second name, you know. They had no idea that Christ merely means to be Christed. It means to have a higher consciousness. Jesus' last name was Schwartz. He was a cousin of Rhoda's. But they didn't know that. And what I'm here to tell you is that anyone can obtain a Christ consciousness. That we are able to do that, each and every one of us. That this thing we call God does not show favorites. If you want to work on your consciousness, you also can raise your consciousness to that status. Now, the other thing I would like to tell you is, they always say that Jesus was the only begotten Son of God. Now, that is an out-and-out lie. That is complete twaddle. It was made up so that they could make somebody special. This man that we call Jesus never considered himself special. What he said was, what I can do, you can do, and greater things you can do. The church somehow just dropped that out of everything. I found it once in the Bible, and I pointed it out to them. I said, what does that mean? They said, don't worry about that. When you get older, you'll understand. Well, I got older, and I never did understand it. I left that church, too. That was a Lutheran church. I've been through a lot of churches. But you have to realize that we are all begotten sons and daughters of this thing we call God. It can be no other way. You cannot say all that I am is God, but I am not all that God is, and then think that you didn't come from this source. That this life that we call the life of God is through us all. So each and every one of us are begotten of God, not one particular person called Jesus. But churches would like you to know that, and they would like you to think that that is true, so that they can make an example there for something for you to aspire to. But as soon as you try to aspire to it, then they say, ha ha, you're getting too big for your britches. Only Jesus can do that. Who the hell do you think you are? Don't do that to yourselves. Know that you have that power. Know that you are a begotten son of this thing we call God. And that it's only ever one life. Remember, we're teaching unity here. There's only one life, the life of God. And if there's only one life, the life of God, we must all be part of that one life. And if we call that one life the Father or the Source, then we must be children of that. And each and every one of us must be able to possess those qualities. We must be able to do it. So I don't know where they get the idea that there was only ever one person that came to Earth that was able to do anything. Sort of makes it all stupid, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. Why would you go through this whole thing if you can't do it? So learn to do that. Learn to take on the quality. Learn to know exactly who you are. That you are a child of God, a child of the universe, that you are begotten of this power, and that the Creator and the creation are one and the same thing. One and the same thing. This is where you gain a platform. This is where you gain a real base to start from, so that you're not shaken, so that you can stay steadfast in all things, that you have this power, and that you can do this. And this thing that we call God wants you to do it. Our whole purpose of coming to this plane of action is to demonstrate God, is to manifest God, is to take on God qualities and become what we really are, instead of thinking all the time that we are just poor, pitiful people. Don't do that. Please don't do that to yourself. If you're on the pity pot, get off of it. There's no need for that. Now, we do have inside of us this thing we call a mind, this thing we call a brain. We're going to call it a mind. You have to realize that that works on many different levels also. And we often hear about the still small voice that is within us. But because there's so much chatter going on inside of us, and all the other voices inside of us are louder than the still small voice, we never take time to listen to the still small voice. So the ego mind always will say, no, you cannot do that. There is not one person in this room that can come up with an idea that the mind doesn't give you five reasons why it cannot be done. It will always give you five reasons, if not more, why it cannot be done. It never says, oh, great idea, and here's why it can be done, da 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 da. It says, oh, that can't be done, da 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 da, and gives you the five reasons. So you have to be able to sink down. You have to be able to filter out all that noise. Peel back. Do you remember the idea of peeling back an onion skin? You just have to keep peeling back the layers and the layers till you get to where the core is. And that's what you do with your mind and with your thinking. You peel back those. You do not have to listen to that. You peel back till you can hear the still, small voice. Does anyone here know what the still, small voice is always saying and will always say and is always telling you?
Yes.
It says yes, but it says something else. The still, small voice will always, and if you settle right now and get very still, and just imagine going down to where you can hear the still small voice, and that still small voice is always saying, you can do it. It's always saying, you can do it. But we don't go down far enough to hear that. But that's inside of you constantly. Constantly that voice is saying, you can do it. You can do it. And that's what you want to remember. That you have that inside of you. And you listen to that. You can do it. You don't allow your mind to tell you that you can't do it. Anything that you've tried to accomplish in your life, have you allowed your mind to talk you out of it? Because you listen to the mind that says you can't, instead of the little small voice that says, you can do it. You can do it. When I first started to run, jogging, my mind used to say to me, well, now you know, Dallas, right there is a nice little limb that you could trip over and break your ankle. And if you broke your ankle, you wouldn't have to do this damn running anymore. Now that's a voice that goes on. Does anyone have that? Your mind will come up with all those little things to tell you what to do so that you can ease out of something gracefully. Well, now I can't run, for goodness sakes, I've got a broken leg. So now everyone says, oh, he would do it, but he, an accident. He tripped. You see how the mind will do that to you? So when you hear that voice, you have to say, and go down, and go down, and go down until you hear, you can do it. You can do it. And I did it. I started to jog 2 weeks after I stopped smoking 4 packs of cigarettes a day. Before that, I couldn't walk 2 blocks without wheezing. At any moment, I would have dropped over from something. I stopped that, and I started jogging. And I listened to my mind come up with all kinds of excuses. This is not good for you. It's too hot today. Oh, it's raining today. Oh, you're too tired. Don't do it. Da 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 da. I kept doing it. And in a little over a year, I was able to run the Atlanta Marathon. Took me 4.5 hours, some odd minutes and seconds. I have a certificate somewhere telling me how long it took me. While I was doing the marathon, my mind kept saying, are you crazy, Dallas? You've been running a half a day. No one runs a half a day, Dallas. That was the loud voice. And it did, I could hear it say, oh, well, you're nuts. A half a day. Who runs a half a day? You know. But I didn't listen to that voice. I went down to that voice that says, you can do it. You can do it. You have to go to that voice that you can do it. This works with everything that you're doing. The body must always follow the mind. And it always follows the mind. But which mind are you listening to? Which are you listening to? Are you listening to the voice that says, no, you can't, trip over that and fall and break your leg? Or are you listening to the voice that says, you can do it? You can do it. And each time you accomplish something like that, the big voice has to step back and you prove to yourself that that voice that is always going to tell you you're going to fail is not your friend. It has never been your friend. It will never be your friend. It has never brought you any good news whatsoever. You must tell it to go back to the nothingness from whence it came. You must do that. Has anyone here heard their own little voice say, you can do that? You can do it?
Yes.
You can do it. And you have to know. So if he was able, and she was able, and she was able, and I was able to do it, everyone in here is able to do it, because why? God does not show favorites. God does not show favorites. What I can do, you can do. The same way with what Jesus said he could do, he said you can do this and more. You can do this and greater things. This is what you have to remember. And not give in to that voice. And it's an absolutely wonderful experience, because then you start to realize that you are not your mind. Your mind is yours, and you can use your mind to accomplish what you want in life. And it will do it for you. That's the news, and that's the good news. Would you like to take a moment now and find that little voice? All right, let's just get still a moment. Let's just close our eyes. And let's hear. Let's hear all that chatter. And let's just pretend and imagine that that's nothing but static on a radio, an old-time radio that has knobs. And you're going to start dialing those knobs till all that static goes away. And do you come to that frequency within you that says, you can do it. You can do it. You can do it. So just allow yourself to sink down. Turn the dial, regardless of what the static is, regardless of what the other stations are saying, keep dialing till you come to that frequency that says, you can do it. You can do it. And that's your still small voice. That's the universe. That's this thing we call God talking to you. Come back when you're ready. Was there anyone here who could not change the dial? Could not find that frequency? How did you do it? Yes, you. You use something, I know.
That tool you're talking about?
Yes.
Imagination.
Yes. You use your imagination. Why people are afraid of their imagination, or that they think their imagination is not real, is absolutely beyond me. Is there anyone here that thinks by using your imagination that you're just pretending? Imagination is not pretending. Imagination is the biggest tool you have in your toolbox. Learn to use it and learn to believe it. And by doing that little exercise, you can, change it any way you want using your imagination. But if you want to use the idea of turning the dial, do that till you locate that voice within you. Till you locate that voice within you. Okay? The other week a young man said, and he's not here tonight, that he finally understood what I said when I said, God can only do for you what God can do through you. I pondered that all week because I don't believe he really knew what that meant. Does anyone in here think they have an idea of what that means? God can only do for you what God can do through you. This is the young man. You see how we manifested him?
Yeah.
Maybe you want to tell. We're asking the question. You were the one who said you understood that. God can only do for you, but God can do through you. What does that mean to you?
It means don't sit around waiting for someone else to do something for you when God's given you everything you need to be able to make that happen. And all you need to do is just take action.
That's not it. I'm going to clear it up because what you just said is absolutely perfect. But that pertains to God helps those who help themselves. And you must always take an action step. As soon as you take an action step, the whole universe comes and backs you up in that action step. But here's what it means, that God can only do for you what God can do through you. Meaning through your beliefs, your attitudes, your viewpoints, your opinions, and your thoughts. If you have a belief, I will never make it, God is working through that belief and will only work as high as that belief. God will not pay us that belief. God will never pay us a belief that you have or an opinion you have of yourself. God always holds you in the highest of esteem, but you must learn to hold yourself in that high esteem. If you still think that you're a worthless piece of you know what, God is not going to say, no, you're not. The still small voice will say, you can do it. Always. But this power that we call God can only work at the level of your belief, your viewpoint, your opinion, and your thoughts. And these are the things that you have control over, direct control over. You can change a belief anytime you wish to change a belief. It may take a while, and it may not be the easiest thing that you ever did, but you can change it. And as soon as you change it, you raise the bar. Now God can work at that level. And you keep changing it so that this power, think of it as water, can come in and fill the vessel and fill it up more and fill it up more. Does that make sense to you? You see, God will not do it any other way. But you can always go to the still small voice and know that you can do it. And you can always ask this thing that we call God to show you, to release that belief, to help you get a better belief, to help you find better qualities within yourself. But you have to do it. And you have to work on that. So that stretches, again, your consciousness. You see, if your consciousness is there, that's where God is. And if it's there, that's where God is. And if it's there, that's where God is. And if it's completely there, there, that's where God is. But you're the one that's responsible. You have to stretch that. Do you remember the idea that when we used to do the prosperity, we did the thing? How many people only take a thimble to fill up? Instead of backing up a great big truck with a hose on and just sucking everything out, you kind of. This is what you have to do with consciousness. This is what you have to do with your beliefs and so forth, so that this thing, God, the universe, can work through you. But it can only do through you what you have in mind, what you are thinking about yourself, what your beliefs are. You see, this thing we call God loves you unconditionally, holds you in the highest of esteem, loves you so much that it is not going to interfere with you. It's always going to say yes. It's always going to say yes. You see, when you love something unconditionally, you never correct it. If you correct it, what would you be saying? You're not right. You're wrong. You're not good enough. Earthly people do that.
Don't correct God.
Yes, you can correct God. Does that make sense? Can you see that, how that works? And that's what this thing does. And this is how we use it. So think of those, and think of your belief systems, and stop being so damn proud of your belief systems. You know, for some reason people think, oh, well, I believe that, and I'm really good at it, you know. I'm very proud of myself because I have a belief. And just try to change my beliefs. Ha, 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 you're not going to do it because that would mean I would be wishy-washy, and I'm not a wishy-washy person. And I'm very proud of myself. I have a belief. And the belief is, I'm not going to do too well. But it's my belief, and I'm going to hold on to it. Because I got it from my parents. And they were nice people. This is what you do. This is what we do. Change. Don't sit on those beliefs like they're the greatest thing you ever had in your life. That is not what we do with belief. Beliefs must change constantly. They must grow with you. They must grow with you. When you were a child, you believed in a lot of things that you don't believe in now, right? You left those go. When you're going to leave any belief go and get the belief that you want. And this is a blanket statement. And it works across the board. If you are not having and getting what you want, it's because your belief system is not allowing you to have it. It is not because God is punishing you, or that God does not want you to have it, or the universe can't supply that, or the universe doesn't know how to do that, or that's not available in the universe, you know. This is not John Watermaker. Now, why do I say that? Because years ago, John Watermaker in Philadelphia, their main slogan was, if we don't have it, it's not made. And many people think, well, the universe didn't make that. The universe doesn't have that. The universe has everything. You think you're so brilliant you can outthink the universe? I don't think so. But you can come up with something that the universe already doesn't have? No, you can't. But it can only do for you what it can do through you. Through your beliefs, attitudes, opinions, and viewpoints. And you can change those. Everyone wants to have a viewpoint. And here again, everyone's very proud of their viewpoints. And they think they're very grown up and sophisticated, because I have a viewpoint. So therefore, try not to have viewpoints. It limits you. Beliefs limit you, thoughts limit you, opinions limit you. And you're living in an unlimited world, in an unlimited universe. But you can't have an unlimited something when you're holding a limited idea. It can't come down. It can't filter through. It can't fill that up. Nor can it change it. But you can. You can change it. So it's an unlimited thing. And you must become unlimited. The idea is to have many points to view. Many points to view. You look out and you see all of that going on. Oh, isn't that interesting? There's that. Well, that's a nice view. That's a nice view. That's a nice view. But we look out, we get stuck on a view, and we say, ha, that's my viewpoint. Well, if you have a viewpoint, what are you doing? You're stuck. Now you can't see any of the other views. And then people wonder why their life isn't moving along. Or their life is shrinking instead of growing. Well, if you have a viewpoint, it ain't going to move far. It will not pass that viewpoint. It will not pass your beliefs. And it's done that way because this thing we call God loves you so much, it is never going to make you wrong. You see, we confuse God with a parent who says, I think you've done that wrong. This thing we call God doesn't do that. What do you think God does? God allows. That's all God does. God allows. God allows everything to happen. And anything to happen. Because God just allows. And see, in our life, we don't allow, do we? And we have to stop allowing people. They can't do that. They're not allowed to do that. God allows. Makes sense. Are there any questions up to this point? Go ahead.
It's not really a question, just an observation, because you were talking about, I really like that points to view as opposed to point of view. But when we, for instance, elect officials, we would never elect somebody that doesn't have a very specific point of view. And we tend to gravitate towards people that have a point of view as a society. I just would like some explanation along those
lines. And I'm going to give it.
You look like you were before I even finished my sentence.
Does anyone know what just happened?
Race mind.
He went right to race mind. He went right to race mind. He went right to the world and said, in the world, we don't do that. Yeah. I never talk about the world, people. You want to talk about the world? Turn on the TV. Watch the news. That's the world. Mm-hmm. You see the difference?
Sure.
We're trying to raise up, you see, so that we do have the viewpoints, that we can see all of them, many points to them. The world's never going to do that. It's never going to do that. You know. This cousin of Rhoda's said, the poor will always be among us. That means poor in consciousness. That means race mind is always working. That the world is always out there churning up something to tell you that you can't do something, that you can't have something, or this is the way the world is. This is the way the world is. There's one commercial that comes on television. I think I mentioned it once before. I don't know what it's for, but I know what it's for. It's for like a security company or something like that. And it says, get into this field because you know we're always going to have crime. So there's a secure job for you because we're always going to have crime. Now that's out and out and out race mind. And yes, the appearance is out there, and yes, we haven't been able to rid ourselves of that as yet. But in this room, we don't do that. And if we walk out of here with a different idea of ourselves in the world, we can change the world on the outside. You see, it's very safe in here. But we must make it safe out there, too. And when we take these ideas with us, and we use them in our daily life, so that we see how ridiculous it is out there, and what's going on out there. Most people out there are in what's called psychic sleep. They haven't the faintest idea what they're doing and what's going on around them. They're just allowing all this stuff to happen haphazardly, saying, well, that's the world. That's the way it always has been. That's the way it always will be. You cannot say that there's a divine plan somewhere, and that's the way it's always going to be. What happened to the divine plan? What happened? But each and every one of us can change that. We can affect somebody, can't we? We each do one person, that person does one person, that. Anyway, it'll keep going. So anyway, does that help you?
Oh, yeah.
Because we have to move up. And of course, we judge by appearances and we judge by the world. So when I say these lofty things, we say, well, that didn't work over there. Well, no, it didn't work over there. And no, it's not going to work over there. I'm sorry to tell you. That's not going to do it. That's the way that one works. All right. Did that clear you up?
Yeah.
Anybody else?
Can you just talk a little bit about... We had a conversation the other day, you and I, about doing something and that it's costing more than what it was going to. And that, well, that's not really a big deal. But how the mind always goes to the money.
Yes.
And if the money were taken out of most of equations, for most of us, as far as the decision would be not even pondered over.
So, money is always going to come up. But what we do with that is going to get some money. What we do in any situation is we make money the issue. First of all, because we think that's sophisticated, and since we think we're grown-ups, we always think, well, now we have to think about money, because grown-ups think about money. So we get an idea, and right away the mind says, oh, well, that'll cost a fortune. You can't get that. You can't do that. You can't blah, 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 blah. You cannot listen to that. You can never make money the issue in your life or the issue with anything, because money is never the issue, people. There's something behind that. And what is behind that? Some belief that you have about money, some belief you have about yourself. When you change that belief, that goes away. But you can never make money the issue, because you are your money. And you are your belief systems. You are those things.
Dallas, for years we had a bathroom that was absolutely awful. And every time I'd say anything, my husband would say, it's too much money. And then somebody came in the house, and he mentioned a number that it could possibly cost. And I thought, that's not a lot of money. I had no idea what it would be. And then we got the bathroom clean. I had no idea what he was talking about. I never asked him for a number. He just said, it's too much money. We can't do it. And we got it done.
Yes. And that's what happens so many times. You have no idea that some things don't have to cost you anything to get done. And there's all kinds of other ways to do things that do not require money. So never let an idea go by because of money. Money is never the issue on any of the things that you're doing in your life. They perhaps look like that, but they're not. They are not. And when you realize that money is never the issue in your life, then you lose the fear of having money and you lose the fear of not having money. When you lose the fear of not having and having, then you always have. It's always going to keep coming to you. It's always going to keep coming to you. And if you're into any project and so forth, you have to know that the money will always come to support that idea. And if somebody says to you, yes, but it's going to cost twice as much, you do it anyway. Because the money has to come to support the idea. And as long as you stay with the idea, the universe will fill that for you. It will raise and raise. The same way as a belief, the same way. Because it has to come through you. But only at that level that you think. So you change the level of your thinking. And it fills it up to that level. How many people here are familiar with Frank Lloyd Wright? And all the buildings that he did. And they would have never gotten accomplished if it was the money. And every building that he ever did cost 10 times more than he ever proposed. And he always got them accomplished. And he always got them done. Even when the person that hired him said, I'm out of money, that you're spending too much, this can't be done, this can't be done. He held to his vision. And he heard his voice. You can do it. And all those buildings stand today. And long after that, people don't say, yes, but it cost a fortune to get them done. We forgot. But there isn't one building he ever built. If he said it was going to cost $100,000, it would wind up costing $1 million. I forget what the Guggenheim was only going to be, $200,000 or something. And it went into the millions. A lot of money. But he never left money bothering. Never left money bothering. I love Frank Lloyd Wright. Does anyone remember why I love Frank Lloyd Wright? Because he said, give me the luxuries and I can do without the necessities. Isn't that wonderful? See the difference in consciousness? Most people say, oh, I'll just settle for the necessities. I can live without the luxuries. Oh, I don't want to live without the luxuries. But you can live. You see the difference? If you have the luxuries, you can certainly live without the necessities.
Is that like shepherd meat cake?
Yeah. Well, sort of. No. So, anyway. Are we clear now on that? So, that was my preamble. So now we'll start, as we always do, with spiritual mind treatment. And we'll come back. And this is what I know, believe, and accept for myself. I truly am one with the universe. And because I am one with the universe, I am one with abundance and prosperity. And if I am one with abundance and prosperity, I must be one with money also. And now I allow the abundance, prosperity, and money to flow to me, and flow to me freely. And anything in my mind that would negate this is completely gone. I do not believe all the old wives' tales and adages anymore. I believe that I deserve, that I am worthy and totally lovable. And this thing that I call God wants to give me the kingdom. And that kingdom is abundance, prosperity, and money. And I have it right here and right now, and I am absolutely delighted and thrilled that that is so. And I let it be so, and so it is. So many people, remember this is a prosperity class, so many people are trying to be prosperous. And so many people are going about it in the wrong way. The way to go about it is what? First, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, and all else will be added unto you. You have to think of the qualities of heaven. You have to think of the qualities that you have for God. And each and every one of us is going to think of God differently. Doesn't matter. Why doesn't it matter? Because God is infinite. And your each individualized expressions of this thing that we call God. And since God is infinite, each and every one of us can hold our own idea of God. So that's clear. So, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven. Stop striving for other things in your life. Instead of striving for the car, the money, the house, the relationship, whatever it is you're striving for, sit down and seek first peace of mind. Sit down first and see yourself as a wonderful human being with all these God qualities and with all this power. And allow prosperity and abundance to come to you. Instead of thinking, well, I have to go out there and really do this, that, and the other thing, and I have to turn this over. No. You have to gain qualities of spirit and soul first. Now, that does not mean you sit around and go, it means you have to start thinking better of yourself. You have to think better of yourself. You have to think of yourself as God. If you can't think of yourself as God, think of yourself as God would see you. I had one lady who said, well, I'm not quite to the point where I can love myself. But I can now approve of myself. Start somewhere. If you can't bring yourself to that, start approving of yourself. Start seeing the qualities. And just assume that you have them. William Shakespeare said, assume a virtue if you have it not. Assume a virtue if you have it not. How else are you going to get it? How else are you going to get it? We're making ourselves. We're making ourselves all the time. And we can make ourselves anything we want. We can be bad, we can be good, we can be this, we can be that, we can be lovable, we can be hateful, we can be mean, we can be anything that we want. But we have to choose. We have to choose. Oh, I'm thinking I have something there. Oh, question. How could you change your attitudes to serve your own life and health? How could you choose your and change your attitudes? Your attitudes toward yourself, your attitudes toward money, your attitudes toward anything. How could you change them and things would be better in your life? If you have a grudge or a hate or hurt or anything, if you changed it, wouldn't your life change immediately? So you just absolutely change it. You see? You change it. Does anyone realize what you truly are beside a child of God? I'm talking now on this plane of action. When you think of yourself and who you are, if you wanted to explain to me who you were, what would you use to do that? How do you come to be who you are?
By feeling lovable, worthy, and deserving.
Yes, by doing those three things, lovable, worthy, and deserving. But that is not the answer. The answer is this. Each and every one of us gets our own conclusions. We conclude who we are. We always do that. And we may say somebody else did that to me. But you're the one that's concluded. I'm no good. I'm this. I'm that. I'm whatever. You've come to a conclusion. This is who I am. You cannot come to a conclusion because you don't know who you are. If you come to a conclusion, how is this thing that we call God, this thing that we call unlimited, going to go past that conclusion? Can't do it. A conclusion means that's it. This is who I am. Don't do that to yourself. Leave yourself open to be everything. Leave yourself open for growth. Leave yourself open to grow and continue to grow. It's like people who think they can stop learning at a certain age. We never stop learning. I don't care if you live to be 200 years old. You learn something. You cannot do that. You cannot come to conclusions about yourself. And I will tell you right here, every conclusion you ever came to, you came to too rapidly. And you came to that conclusion at an age when you were not mentally, emotionally ready to make that conclusion. You were not ready. And now you're living with that conclusion. Get rid of that conclusion. It is not you. It is not you. Okay? Our friend brought us the complete saying that I had last week tried to do from Marianne Williamson. And it is, our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, fabulous? Actually, who are you not to be? You are a child of God. Your playing small does not serve the world. There is nothing enlightening about shrinking so that other people won't feel unsure around you. We are born to make manifest the glory of God that is within us. It, the glory of God, is not just in some of us. It is in everybody. As we let our light shine, we unconsciously give other people permission to do the same. As we are liberated from our own fear, our presence automatically liberates others. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Think of that. Think of those things. Think how brilliant you are, how gorgeous you are, how fabulous you are. How powerful you are. Think on those things and see if it doesn't change your life. Think of more money and prosperity and abundance doesn't come into your life. Because you know you're powerful. And you know that this thing we call the glory of God, this life that is in us, each and every one of us, has that life. There's only one life, and that's the life of God. It's not my life. It's my life as God. It's your life as God. I always remind myself that Dallas is God. And it is God that's working through me. That God and I are one and the same. And I never allow that bloated nothing of mine to think that I am the big I am. But I remind myself that I am part of this thing that we call God. And because I am part of God, I have every quality and every power of God. And that I can use that power every day and every minute of every day. Because it's always God as Dallas. Dallas as God. It is never any other way. And it's wonderful. And so are you. And so am I. And there ends the lesson. Thank you.